So who saw the sign out front? Cool. Praise God. We put it up Wednesday night, and people will come in and say, "What'd you think of this? What'd you think of the message title?" And like, is there a message title up there? Yeah, it's on that big sign you turned right past to get. Yeah. Or as Deb would say, something. No, was it you? Who would say it? Something about Jesus. Rich. Rich would come in. I had to ask him about it. He said, "It's something about Jesus." That's always the message. Something about Jesus. I want to talk today about filling your heart. We were over here yesterday for the Treasures for You Day. Joanne went out and said, "Fill your heart." I said, "Yep." She looked at me kind of funny. So I told her about the first bit of scripture we're going to talk about this morning in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9. It says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And I'll stop right there for just a moment. Fill your heart. The psalmist says, "I hid your word in my heart that I might not, that there's a chance I won't sin. That I'll know who you are. That by meditating on your word, it can change the way I see things. It can change the way I understand things." And what is it? Psalm 19 says, talks about the statutes of the Lord are true. The commandments of the Lord are pure. And it goes in and benefits of all of these things, talking about the Word of God, how the Word of God will direct us and lead us and guide us. So Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9, says, how do we not be the way we were? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof, or the King James says thereof, by taking heed according to your word. With my heart. What?
Are you recording?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep, still recording. Praise God.
Sorry about that.
Oh, not a problem. If that's the worst thing that happens today, it will have been a good day. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about how, according to Psalm 119, that's how we cleanse our way. That's how we direct our paths. And it's, understand, just reading the Word of God, if we don't ever apply it to our lives, doesn't change us. However, once you start reading the Word of God has a way of getting inside and changing the way we think about things, getting inside and changing the way we act. There are people who insist on reading the Word of God only to argue. Know some of them. Yet, God's Word never returns void, but it always does that he sent it forth to do. So, if somebody's going to read the Word of God just to be able to argue, I pray that that Word of God in there just starts attaching, catching them. Verse 11, "Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." The psalmist is declaring, God, you're changing me. You're making me different than I was, and I praise you for it. Because what I was messed up. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And it's not up there. In Psalm 24, beginning with verse 3, says, "Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." In order to ascend to the hill of the Lord, it recalls for a clean hands and a pure heart. For not having spoke deceitfully, not having lifting up your hands to an idol. But does that mean that anybody who has done any of these things is all of a sudden barred from God's kingdom? Back to 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? How do I not be the person I used to be? I put God's word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I read his word that I get to know more about who he is. God's word is the one that teaches us. God's word will change us. God, through his word, will touch us and lead us and direct our steps, make us new. Fill your heart is putting God's word in our heart, making a conscious effort to put God's word in our heart, to think about it, to contemplate it, to focus on what God's word does. To allow God to change us from the inside out. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul talking to Timothy, telling him how he's to go about and share the word and the way he's supposed to lead and guide people. 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 14, says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words of no profit to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." There's such big gems in that we study the Word of God to get to know who God is. We study the Word of God to get to know who we are, to get an accurate picture of what's going on in our lives. Paul talks in another place about being a doer of the Word of God. And it says the person who reads the word of God and does not do it is like a man observing himself in a glass, in a mirror, and then turns away and forgets what sort of person he was. But when we focus on the word of God and examine ourselves in light of what Scripture says, we get a better understanding of who we are. We get a better understanding of who God is and the plans that God has for us. But we have to begin studying it, have to begin filling our heart with it. Says in Hebrews, and we're not going there, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Another translation says living and active. Says it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, when we look at it, when we absorb it, when we draw it into our lives, when we hide his word in our heart, really helps us to examine who we are, helps us to examine what's going on. And that's when all of a sudden a verse will come up that, you know God wrote it in there that morning just for you, because all of a sudden it catches you. You can read the word of God countless times, and some things will click one time, and other things you just gloss right over it, until all of a sudden there's that one day when that verse hits you right between the eyes. Got to make a change. Got to do something different. Begins to do it. It happens by filling our heart with the Word of God. Back here in 2 Timothy, where we were just talking about being diligent to present yourself approved of God, that studying the Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. But notice in verse 16 it says, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." We were talking just a minute ago about people that read the Bible just to have something to just to have some ammunition for an argument. Don't get into the argument. I understand it's real easy to say don't get into the argument. It's not always real easy to avoid the argument with somebody that insists on it. But recognize that it will increase to more ungodliness. That's like the Scripture says, be angry but don't sin. You know, you can be upset, you can be frustrated, you can be angry about a situation, but that doesn't mean you have to let it get the better of you. In Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5, says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who awaits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Here's another place he said, God, teach me out of your word. This word has to get into our hearts. This word has to get into our lives. We understand the things of God. As we draw close to the things of God, we need to understand who God is each and every day. Because if we're not doing it each and every day, I know from personal experience, if we're not doing it each and every day, it becomes easy to lay it aside. And when it becomes easy to lay it aside, it becomes easy to get distracted. When it becomes easy to get distracted, we have more and more and more issues. Guilty. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can tell you. Guilty. So I'm not telling you to fill your heart. I'm saying we, starting with me, need to fill our hearts with what's in the Word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember, I'm a semantics guy. That means there's a chance. Might not. How do we get to the point where we might not sin against you? That there's an opportunity to lay aside the things of the world. There's an opportunity to lay aside the things, the weights and the sins that so easily beset us, as Paul says, and running with patience this race. There's an opportunity to avoid the traps of the enemy. There's an opportunity to avoid the snares. By seeking God, by putting His Word in our heart, by drawing close to Him in prayer, by focusing on God and asking for the wisdom. It says in James, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously. And upbraid it not, it says in King James. Doesn't give us a hard time for asking, Lord, I need your wisdom. It says the wisdom that's from the earth is sensual, devilish. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure. And it's easy to be entreated. It's easy to reach out to. Seeking God's wisdom. Seeking His ways. How do we get there? Taking heed thereof according to your word. Seeking God's word. Seeking God in His word. Seeking to draw close to the Lord. Hiding His word in our heart. In Philippians 4. Beginning, or verses 8 and 9. Again, Paul writing, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, focus on the good things. Don't focus on the problems. Don't focus on attitudes. Don't focus on turmoil. Focus on the good things. Well, how do we know what is good? We have to have a standard to judge it by. What does the Word of God say? How does God's Word relate in this? What does God's Word teach us? And how do we know that? We have to hide His Word in our heart. We have to study the Word of God. We have to read the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance everything Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us. How in the world is the Holy Spirit going to explain Scripture to us if we first off haven't even bothered to read the Scripture? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not limiting the Holy Spirit. Okay? God can do some wondrous things whether we understand what's going on or not. But if we are to set out to draw close to the Lord, then it's upon us to open the Word and find out what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit will teach us and explain things to us. But it's up to us to find out what the Word of God says, to read it ourselves. Sometimes when we look at things in the Word of God, you look in one translation. I learned to read in the King James. So that's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I'm used to reading. That's what I understand. But I recognize that I don't understand everything that's in there. I think I do, but I don't. I don't think I understand everything there because I have a bunch of question marks in my Bible. Okay? There's things that God has not yet revealed that I don't understand yet. But there's things that I think I understand that I come to find out later I didn't. We talked about this, about the parable of the sower. That the sower goes out to sow the seed and some of it falls on the walkway, on the roadside. And by and by, the birds of the air come and take it away. And I guess the translation that the seed is the word and it's cast out, that the devil, the enemy comes and takes it away. But I always thought that by and by was the sweet by and by. We will meet on that beautiful, way out there in the future sometime. And it wasn't until I got out an exhaustive concordance, the Strong's, and looked it up that I found out that by and by means immediately. The devil comes and tries to snatch things out of our lives immediately. Are we hiding it in our hearts? Or are we just letting it graze past our gray matter? Pass through the ears, in one ear and out the other. You've heard that saying before. Things just go through and just don't have an impact. If things do not have an impact in our lives, how in the world is it going to change us? How is God going to use His Word to change us if we're not willing to open the Word of God and say, Lord, I don't understand and I need to know. Teach me. Guide me. Lord, speak to me through Your Word. Help me understand. But as we are willing to do that, as we are willing to seek the face of God, as we are willing to say, Lord, this is what Your Word says. This is what society says. This is what I always understood. I've got to pick one. Lord, I want to pick Your Word. I want to do things according to Your will. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1, says, if then you were raised with Christ, as we receive Jesus, as we receive His sacrifice as payment for our sins, as we become new creatures, a new creation, as we are buried in baptism and raised in likeness of the resurrection of Jesus, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Again, are we going to let God's Word change us? Are we going to let God's Word teach us? How do we do that without getting it into our heart? How do we do that without trying to absorb His plan and purpose for our lives? Verse 2, set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's one of the problems with our modern society where everything is readily available, where things are very convenient. We kind of forget the part where the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. We kind of forget the fact that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We forget the fact that we are a new creation. We're still focused on in so many ways on our own pleasure, our own comfort, our own, benefit, rather than seeking the face of God, rather than letting God change us. But if we hide His Word in our heart, if we fill our heart with God's Word, if we fill our lives with the things of God, we begin to look different, we begin to act different. In some cases, that makes us not the companion some people want to have around. You ever been in a situation where there was coarse jokes or coarse language going on and you objected to it, and all of a sudden people don't want to be around you anymore? Praise God! I didn't want that stuff in my life anyway. Had a former coworker One Saturday we were working, and he came over to my cube, and he proceeds to tell me this story, and his language is a lot like my language used to be before God started cleaning me up. And I said, you know, it took a long time for God to change my heart enough, change my vocabulary enough that I don't use those words anymore. And I would prefer if you didn't use those words around me. I wasn't rude. I wasn't mean. I don't want to talk that way anymore, and I don't want to be in the middle of it. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Never had a problem with him again. But I come in, and he's like keeping his distance just because it make him uncomfortable. When we begin to allow God to change us, there are people we're going to make uncomfortable just by our lives. And you know the reason for this, right? We understand that as God changes us, first off, they can no longer have the excuse that I'm just the way that I am and nobody can fix me. If we allow God to begin changing us, they see somebody being changed. They can no longer say that God can't fix people, that God can't change people. Hello? But how do we get there? Hiding His Word in our heart, allowing God to change us from the inside out. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now I want you to stop right there. He's talking to the church, and he says, here's areas that you need to put away. Things in the church. Put to death your members which are in the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. All of these things are in the church. Paul says we need to lay these things aside. We lay these things aside. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the Word of God, to allow God's Word to pierce our heart and to change us. Paul says, don't be complacent where you are. Because the things that are going on right now is the exact same reason the world is going to be judged. Because of these things, verse 6, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And again, but now you yourselves put off all these. Again, things in the church that they have to lay aside. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Continue to allow God to change us. Don't give up. Don't be complacent. Allow God to do wondrous things in us. Verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. It says, God wants to change you. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you. Lay aside these things. Understand what the Word of God says. Remember Jesus' commandments. Or Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said later on, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How do we allow God to change us? We have to get His Word inside of us. We have to recognize when we look in the Word of God that even though there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, there's a way that is God's way. And as we do things God's way, God changes us from glory to glory. As we apply line upon line, precept upon precept, as we understand what God's Word says, as His commandments and His precepts and His Word comes and teaches us. We learn more and more and more about who God is. We learn more and more and more about the plans and purposes that He has for us. And we learn he's not leaving us where we are. We talked, was it last week, about the meaning of Ebenezer. This far the Lord has been with me. Each and every one of us can say that. This far God has brought us. This far the Lord has shown himself mighty. This far God has done wondrous things in my life. This far. And I don't expect that he's finished, because I know I'm not perfected yet. I love that amen when I say I'm not perfect. I always get that one. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Final passage that I'm going to read is Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. Again, you know, we read it in Philippians. We read it in Timothy. We read it in Colossians. Now we're reading it in Ephesians. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, that as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, putting God's word in our heart, allowing God's word to change us. In our heart, in our mind, in our being, in our understanding, the way we conduct ourselves, all of this comes from God changing us from the inside out. And that change comes as we focus on the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, as we fill our heart with the Word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof according to your Word. The admonition in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. If we want God to change us, we need to trust him. If we want God to show himself mighty in our lives, if we want God to hold us up as the trophies of his grace, which is his plan, it comes with surrendering to the Holy Spirit. It comes with surrendering and laying aside the things. It comes with getting into the Word of God to find out who God is, who God has called us to be, how to walk this life, how to do His will. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. How can we be ambassadors of a heavenly nation when we have no clue what a heavenly nation is supposed to look like? How can we be ambassadors for the will of God if we're not interested in finding out what the will of God is? But if we're interested, if we're drawing close, if we're learning who God is on His Word, if we're having God teach us, if the Holy Spirit is bringing things to remembrance, if all of a sudden the Scripture just clicks and makes us stop and think things over, then we see a change that comes from the Word of God getting in and being a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why did you do this thing? Why did you do it this way? But if we will seek the face of God, if we will open His Word, if we will draw close to the Lord, if we will fill our heart with the Word of God and allow the Word of God to work through us and to change us, we become those trophies of His grace. We become that example that the world needs. We become the salt and light that we're called to be. And if we don't allow these things to happen, we become merely false witnesses. We become merely an excuse for somebody else to not follow God. They couldn't do it. Why should I think I can? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, help us. Help us, Father, to hide your word in our hearts. Help us, Father, to seek your face. Help us, Lord, to draw close to you. Help us, Father, to open your word and ingest it and meditate it on it. Meditate on it day and night. The children of Israel, when they were given the law, they were told to talk about the things of God when they got up and when they laid down. when they went out and when they came in. They were told to raise their children up in it. The king, the rulers of the nation of Israel, was commanded to write a copy of the law for himself so that you know what it says. Do you ever think about that? So important. The king had to write, was supposed to. They didn't all do it. But that was the law. Write a copy for yourself so you know what it says. You know, when you were at school, you had to write things down. Sometimes you had to write them a lot so that they would get in. I will not do such and such on the board for... As God's Word penetrates our heart, as God's Word gets in there, it sticks. God uses it to touch us, to change us, to teach us, to show us His grace and show us His ways. Praise the Lord. Father, we do give You glory and praise. Thank You, Father. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, that You're calling each and every one of us to draw closer. You're calling each and every one of us, Father, to know more and more of You, to walk more and more in Your ways, to not be complacent with wherever we are. We ask, Father, that You'd stir in our hearts, Lord, with a hunger. Stir in our hearts, Lord, with the hunger and thirst for righteousness. We give You the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.